You have a seat and get your Bibles. Go with me to the book of Hebrews. We're going to be in Hebrews, the third chapter, and verse number 12 once again. You remember last week we started in a part one. Pastor Jim preached a great message called Departing from the Living God. Today, we're going to launch off of that same concept and that same thought. This is part two of Departing from the Living God. And we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 12. We're going to kind of remind you of some things that we built on last week, some principles that we brought out of the Word, and find out what really God was speaking to us, and then we'll take that understanding and we'll launch out from there. If you remember last week, Departing from the Living God, part 1, Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 12, let's read it together. It says, beware. In other words, you remember we are supposed to be aware of something. We are supposed to look out. We're supposed to be cautioned about something. Beware, brethren. Meaning this is talking to the church. This is talking to the brethren, the family of God. And so this is not talking to unbelievers. This is talking to you and I today. And he says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And that's where we get our title from, is in departing from the living God. And if I can just remind your thinking last week, we saw that it is possible for us to walk away and depart from God. You remember we learned how not to depart from the living God. There were four things that we learned last week that Pastor Jim brought out of the Word about how not to depart from the living God. If it is possible for us to do this, then we've got to pay attention, we've got to be aware, we've got to find out what it's going to take for us to not depart from the living God. You remember last week, number one was beware that you could fall. That we shouldn't consider once saved, always saved. That's not what this is about. There are many warnings in the Bible telling us, he who endures to the end shall be saved, reminding us that there are some things that we got to look out for, we got to watch for, because there are some who will depart from the faith. And you remember we saw that numerous times in the Word of God. We've got to beware that we could fall. Second thing is that we've got to endure. Endure what? Well, we've got to endure with sound teaching. We can't stray away from the principles of God because they rub us the wrong way. No, when you feel that Word of God rubbing you the wrong way, it's time for you to turn around. You see, God doesn't turn himself around. No, you've got to turn yourself around. God doesn't line up with you and I. No, we line up with him. And therefore, when we take a look at the Word of God, we need to endure in that sound teaching, that sound doctrine. Because the Bible tells us there are those who would stray away from sound doctrines, following after seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. That unsound teaching, and they're going to go gather to themselves teachers who will say whatever their itching ears want to hear. You remember that verse that we read in the book of Timothy? And if you remember, we talked about how sometimes people will say things like, well, I don't like the way that sounds. I don't like the way that comes against me. You know, you're telling me I need to live a holy life, but I don't want to live a holy life. I want to live however I want to live and still go to heaven. So they'll find a teacher who's preaching that doctrine, and they will gather to themselves those teachers so that they say whatever their itching ears want to hear, and they've departed from the living God. How not to depart from the living God. Number one was beware you could fall. Number two, endure sound teaching. Third thing we learned last week was fight. If we're going to stick with God, we've got to fight for it. And it's a fight, it's a good fight of faith. That we are to stay in there in faith and believe God, and we are to stick with God and fight the good fight of faith. And number four is conscience. Sometimes people get off and they're thinking about that and they say, conscience, well, I feel good about what I do. I feel good about my life. My conscience doesn't condemn me. Therefore, I'm okay with God. This is not about what we think. This is not about what you say or what I say. This is about what the Bible says, about what the Word of God has to say. And therefore, it's not about our thinking or our conscience. No, this is about God's thinking. And the God conscience, that when we can line up with the Word of God and it approves of in the God conscience, now we know that we're operating in the ways of God and we have not departed from the living God. Today we're going to launch out of this understanding and build on this concept because some have departed. And if we're not going to depart, then we need to understand some things and know why some people depart. Remember the warning that God gives us when he says beware, he's saying something about those who have departed because they have left the faith, they have left the living God, and now they've gone off to do their own thing. There was a reason why they departed. And today, if we can understand that reason, then when those things start to take place in our life, we will know what's going on, and we will know how to not stray and how to stick with God. Are you listening today? I said, are you listening today? Oh, good, I thought there was more than three people in here. Today we're going to take a look at reasons people depart. Reasons people depart. If we can understand these reasons, if we know what's going on, then when we start to see these reasons taking place in our life, then we will not depart, we'll stick with God. Reasons people depart, number one is unbelief. Unbelief, not believing God. Many times people take a look at the Word of God and they say, I believe that, but I don't believe that. And it's almost like, you know, they think that the Word of God is like the hometown buffet. You know, they can go there, they can pick this part of it, put this on the plate, I don't like that, so I'm not going to get any of that. I'll move on to this. And they pick and choose what they want out of the Word of God. And when you choose not to include the whole counsel of God, now you're operating in this thing called unbelief. I would submit to you today that it's either all true or it's not true at all. See, there are people who have gone through and they've said, you know what, I'll believe in God, I'll believe in Jesus, I'll believe in, but I don't believe in the miracles. And they've taken all the miracles out of the Bible and they've said, you know what, this is all true, but not the miracles. Listen, it's either all true or it's not true at all. And you and I have to come to a place where we determine in our hearts that if God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. And we're going to operate in that. Why? Because when we operate in unbelief, when we say, hey, you know what, that doesn't line up with my experience. I prayed for someone and they didn't get healed. I believe God for finances and I'm still broke. Therefore, all that stuff in the Bible, you know, I just can't believe that any longer. It turns into an unbelief and it turns into an evil heart and we stray away from God. John Wesley said, unbelief is the parent of all evil. Wow. That means that when we operate in unbelief, then the fruit of that unbelief in our life is now going to be evil things that take place. You say, well, wait a second. Just because we say we don't believe something, that means now all of a sudden we're going to be operating in evil? Yes, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Why? Because anything that is contrary to the will and the way of God, the Bible defines that as evil. And so we have to be very careful that we don't depart from the living God in our faith and in our thinking and in our belief systems. Why? Because when you do, now all of a sudden you're operating in a way that is contrary to the will and ways of God, and now you fall under that category of producing evil fruit in your life. Just like faith will produce good fruit in your life, unbelief will produce evil fruit in your life. We showed you in the book of Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. We just read the verse, but look at what it says again. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Notice that the result of having an evil heart of unbelief was that they departed from the living God. That was the fruit that unbelief produced in their life, was that they forsook God and they went their own way instead of going God's way. Jesus was confronted by the Pharisees, you remember, and they were talking about foods that went inside of a man. They said, you know, you can't eat that, you can't touch that, you can't do that, I'll make you unclean. And Jesus says, no, you guys, you got it all wrong. It's not what goes into a man that defiles a man, but rather it's what comes out of the man that defiles the man. For out of the heart comes fornications, adulteries, anger, wrath, uncleanness. See, whatever is in the heart, he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever is on the inside of you, if you have an evil heart of unbelief, then from that evil heart is going to produce the fruits of darkness rather than the fruit of the Spirit. Are you listening today? Now, in every reason that we see that people depart, there's also a reason that people stay. So if we can understand why people departed, then we can contrast that and look at the opposite of that and see why people would stay with God. So then that means that if some depart because of an evil heart of unbelief, that would mean that we should stay because we have a good heart of faith. Let me say that again. Maybe you missed it. I should have got a bigger amen than that. But it says, if some depart because of an evil heart of unbelief, then we should stay because of a good heart of faith. Now there it is. There it is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. I thought it'd be okay to use Hebrews 11 because we won't be getting there for, you know, probably a decade or so. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. For those of you that don't know what that means, we go line upon line, precept upon precept. So we just keep going. We've been in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 2, and starting chapter number 3 for about a year and a half, almost 2 years now. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now notice it says without faith. What does that mean? That means you don't have faith, you're not believing, then you are in unbelief. So without faith, when you're in unbelief, it's impossible to please God. Capital H on the word him. Now here's the reason why. It says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. That he is what? Well, that he's God. That he's all that he says he is. That everything that he's spoken in his word is true. See, when we come to God, we have to reverence and respect God as such. So if we're going to operate in faith, we must come to him and we must believe that he is. But notice there's a little three-letter word right after that. A little word called and. In other words, when you see that little word called and, it means that what I just said is now connected to what I'm about to say. It means additionally, not only are we going to have to believe that God is, but there's also something else that you've got to believe about God. And. Well, what is the and? And that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. And we must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You say, well, wait a second, Pastor. I'll believe in God. I'll believe that he created the heavens and the earth. I'll believe that he's out there, that he's doing his thing. But little old me here on the earth, I don't see a reward. Pocketbook's empty. Children have gone south. Boss is on my case. About to lose my job. Marriage is a mess. Neighborhood has gone down the toilet. What are you talking about? God's a rewarder. See, I may take that God is God and I believe that he is, but I don't believe that he's involved in my life here on the earth. Now you're operating in unbelief and it's displeasing to God. You say, but wait, I don't believe that prosperity gospel, Pastor. But wait a second. I didn't write this. I'm not asking you to believe that. I'm just telling you what the word says. The Bible says that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That means that you're chasing after God, that you're not departing from God, but you're now drawing near to God. You're coming close to God. You're getting in his presence. You're getting in his face. And by nature of who God is and the abundance and the Spirit of God, when you get close to God, now all of a sudden you can't help but get blessed. People say, well, I tried that. I tried church. I tried praying. I tried reading and didn't do nothing for me. Yeah, but that's just because you tried. Listen, a little dab will not do you, especially when it comes to the things of God. You've got to pursue and chase after and get in there and work it out. You've got to diligently seek him. That means it's not a one-time thing. This is not, you know, you put in your quarter and you pull the lever and out comes the blessings. No, you passionately pursue the things of God and you believe God at his word, even when you don't see the results, even when it takes longer than you expected, even when it costs you more than you wanted to. But listen, I've got a promise from God and therefore I believe I receive it and it's coming my way. That's what this is about. An evil heart of unbelief will draw us away from God, but when we pursue God and believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder, then we draw near to God. I love what Andrew Murray said. He said, the living God in heaven and the believing heart on earth, these are the two powers that meet and satisfy each other. Oh my, that means that when you and I connect with God, now something supernatural takes place. God's super on your natural makes a supernatural existence. Amen. Amen. Reasons people depart, number one, is unbelief. And we find out by contrast that the reason why we can stay is because we're in faith. Second thing, reasons people depart, we see this in the Word, is trusting in self. Trusting in self. It's kind of funny, we just were talking about this in my Bible college class on Thursday night, and after we got done talking about our subject, one of the guys raised his hand and asked me a question. He said, well, now, I just got a question about this because, you know, you're talking about operating the power of God. And people oftentimes will tell me, you know, don't go out there and do that in your own strength. Don't do it in your own strength, brother. Listen, don't do it in your own strength. What are they talking about? What are they talking about? They're talking about trusting in self rather than trusting in God. Sometimes people get all messed up on the will of God, a lot of controversy about the will of God. And in the book of James, it says, listen, don't say I'll go to this city and buy and sell and do such and such. Rather, what you should say is if the Lord wills, then we'll go to this city and do such and such. Really, the concept is don't go out there in your own strength, trusting in yourself to do your thing. This is about you and I getting a hold of the will of God, believing God, and then we go in the strength of God, and we partner up with the Spirit of God and do everything we can to work out the will of God in our life. And in your natural diligence, God puts in his supernatural grace and gets the job done for you and I. Amen. Let me show it to you in the Word in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 2. Turn there with me to the book of Jeremiah. Great verse in Jeremiah, chapter number 2. Jeremiah, chapter number 2. We're going to take a look at verse number 13. God is speaking about his people Israel. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse number 13, it says this. It says, for my people have committed two evils. So there's two things we're going to take a look at. My people have committed two evils. Take a look at it with me. One, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And two, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. First time I read this verse, I kind of scratched my head and I said, okay, well, two evils. One evil is that they have forsaken God. That's evil. My goodness. Second thing is that they hewed themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And I said, okay, I get the first one, forsaking God. That's evil. But why is it evil to dig himself a cistern? Maybe you don't understand what a cistern is. It's a large boulder, large rock that was in the ground that they would bore an opening in, and then they would hollow out the inside of that rock, and then they would store water inside of there. And that way they always would have a store of fresh water for them to drink or for them to use for their needs, for their purposes. And so these cisterns, they have them. You can go to Israel, and they were just like these massive things, kind of like a well, but a well digs down to the groundwater that's flowing. The cistern held water, and it kept it there. And so I looked at that, and I said, well, okay, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me. Forsaking God, that's evil. When you turn your back on God, that is really evil. But I don't understand, God. Why hewing cisterns? Why digging cisterns? I mean, they're broken cisterns. They can't hold any water. But why is that so bad? And the Spirit of God started to minister to me, started to bring out the understanding of what's really going on. There's a common thread in these two things that they've done, these two evils that they've done. Notice what the common thread is. It's water. There's a common thread in these two evils. Notice what it is. The common thread is water. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. The key to this is that water was what they needed. They needed God, the fountain of living waters. Jesus, there at the woman with the woman at the well in Samaria, right? Jacob's well. There they are having a conversation. And he says, if you should ask me for water, and I would give you living waters. He who comes and drinks of my water that I give will thirst no more. And she says, give me this water, right? And so we understand that God is the fountain of living waters. If they forsook God, now they no longer have a supply, and they go in their own strength. And notice the words, hewn themselves. God doesn't want us going out in our own strength. God doesn't want us going out in our own power. Oh, I'm going to store it for myself. I don't need you, God. I forsake you, God, and now I'm going to have my own supply. And when we trust in ourselves, notice what it is. It's a broken cistern that can hold no water. You're going to end up dry anyways. Doesn't matter how much water you pour in there, it will always leak out. Why? Because you're trusting in yourself rather than trusting in God. In yourself is a limited supply. In God is an endless supply. And the Bible says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we see that trusting in self is a reason why people depart. Now we can see the comparison, what happens when we depart from God and trust in man or ourselves versus staying with God and trusting in him. Later in the book of Jeremiah, it describes it even better. Jeremiah chapter 17, turn there with me. Jeremiah chapter number 17, some great verses, some blunt and in-your-face verses. Don't you love when the Word of God just hits you like a ton of bricks sometimes? I mean, it's almost like somebody took a pail of ice water and just doused you with it and woke you up. Sometimes that's refreshing. Sometimes we like that. Sometimes we don't. Either way, you're going to get it today. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 5. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Oh my, there it is. There's that bucket of cold water. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Anybody remember what we're talking about today? Departing from the living God. That person is cursed. Why? Verse number 6, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see good when it comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. When we trust in ourselves, when we trust in our strength, or when we put our trust in someone else other than in God, sometimes people say, well, you know what, God is cool, but you know what, I really need a man or I really need a woman to fulfill that void in my life. And if I could just get a hold of that, then I'll be okay. And they end up making the wrong decision, the wrong choice. They end up going after the things of the flesh rather than the things of God. And they find themselves with that broken cistern. They find themselves in that dry and parched place. Notice what it says. When good comes, they don't even recognize it. They don't even notice it. Why? Because they're in that dry and parched land. They're kind of like the mountains of San Bernardino around us. Most of the year, they're what color? Brown, right? And we look at them and they're brown. Brown mountains. Isn't that nice? Then there's like that week of rain, you know, and they turn green. And all of a sudden, the air is clean, the birds are chirping, the sun is shining, the mountains are green. We're all, wow, look how gorgeous it is. And then it heats up the next week, and it's gone again, and it's brown. And all of a sudden, why do I got to live in brown, brown, brown? They don't even see good when it comes. They don't recognize they're in that dry and parched land. But by contrast, the people who trust in the Lord, let's take a look at it. In the next verse, verse number 7, look at what it says. Blessed, everybody say blessed. Yes. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. Verse number 8, for he shall be like a tree planted by waters. See, it's all about waters. God is the fountain of living waters. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when he comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. That is a promise from God. When you trust in God, doesn't matter how long the recession is holding on, doesn't matter how long the kids stray away, doesn't matter how fierce the battle gets, how crazy your boss is, doesn't matter what the woman is doing or what the man is doing. Listen, the neighborhood can go to the toilet, but it doesn't matter. Why? Because my roots are in the river. Why? Because I've got an endless supply. I'm going to be like Isaac in the year of drought, who sowed and reaped 100-fold. That's my King. That's my Jesus. That's the supply I have. And I don't care. Come hell or high water, I'm making it through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, a couple of things that we learned. Reasons today that we already saw that people depart. Number one is unbelief. Number two is trusting in self. Last one for today. You and I to take a look at in the Word of God is disobedience. Last thing for us today, disobedience. Reason people depart from the living God. People fall, people fail, and they walk away from God in shame. The Bible tells us that we are to wholeheartedly adhere to the Word of God, and we are to stay close to God. We're to come near to God and have a heart of faith, a full assurance of faith that we can draw near. We can come to His throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. God doesn't want us to disobey Him and walk away from Him. God wants us to stay close. God wants us to press in. God wants us to get as near as we can to Him. You know, in the context of Hebrews chapter 3, it's talking about the children of Israel when they were wandering in the wilderness and when God wanted them to go in and take the land and enter into the rest. And they didn't enter into the rest, the Bible says, because of disobedience. They had an unbelieving, evil heart, and they rebelled against God, and then because of that, they were turned away from the promised land and they didn't inherit the promises. God wants us to enter into that rest. God has promises. He has a promised land for you and I. And He wants us to go and take the land and to obey His call. And as we do, as we diligently seek Him, He will pour out those blessings on our life. We see it in the book of Numbers, chapter number 14. Turn there with me. Let's take a look at it together. In the book of Numbers, fourth book of the Bible, book of Numbers. We're going to go to chapter number 14 of Numbers. And while you're turning there, let me catch you up on what's going on in the story. Nation of Israel has come out of Egypt. God has shown Himself strong. He's done miracles, signs, and wonders. Parted the Red Sea right before Him. Wiped out the greatest army on the planet. Completely engulfs them in the waters. Now they've traveled. They've gone through the wilderness, they've received the law, they've received the ceremonial system, the sacrificial system, the high priesthood, all that kind of stuff. And now God is calling them to go in and take the land. And they get up to the border of the land, they get up to there at the Jordan River, they're about to cross over, and they decide they're going to send spies into the land to spy out the land. See if it's a good land, see what's going on, see what's taking place. Joshua and Moses are there, and Moses commands the 12 leaders, 12 tribes, right? And you remember the story, the 12 spies go in, Joshua goes in with them, another guy by the name of Caleb, and 10 other leaders of the nation of Israel go in, and they spy out the land. The land is a good land. I mean, they come back with fruit, but not just in their hands. They had to carry it on a pole in between two guys because the clusters of grapes were so big and so heavy that they couldn't just carry it. They had to have two guys with a pole over their shoulder carrying in the grapes. And they come in and they say, man, the land is an exceedingly fruitful land. This is a great land. I mean, this is a land flowing with milk and honey. There's houses we didn't build. There's vineyards we didn't plant. It is a beautiful land. But there's giants in the land. And they start to turn the hearts of the people. Remember, it all starts in the heart. And the 10 spies start to complain, and they start to say, we can't do it. We can't take the land. We saw the descendants of Anak there. These are giants. They're looking over us. We'll be like grasshoppers in their sight. They're going to kill us. It would have been better for us to die by the hands of the Egyptians. We should have been slaves. At least then we would have been able to just live life. We should have died in the wilderness. It would have been better for us to die in the wilderness than to get slaughtered going into this land. Let's get a leader and let's go back. The glory of the Lord appears before the tent of meeting. Moses goes before the Lord, falls down on his face. God says, Moses, I'm going to wipe this people out. They've complained against me. They've tested me these 10 times, and now I'm done. I'm going to wipe them out and make you a nation greater than they. Moses says, oh, Lord, I understand where you're coming from. I'm paraphrasing now. And he says, but Lord, listen, you can't wipe these people out. The Egyptians are watching, Lord. And if you wipe them out, they're going to say it's because you weren't strong enough to bring them into the promised land. God says, very well, at your word, because you've interceded for them, I'll not bring this calamity upon them. But you need to turn back by the way of the Red Sea into the wilderness. And for 40 years, 1 year for every day that they spied out the land, they're going to wander in the wilderness. And their bodies will fall in the wilderness, and then I'll bring the next generation into the land that I've promised them. So Moses goes back and reports the word of the Lord to the nation. This is the command of God. We are to go back by way of the Red Sea into the wilderness. And they say, oh, no, wait a second. We can't go back into the wilderness. Listen, we'll go up now. Now we're going to do it. Now we're going to obey the voice of the Lord. Let's go up. And this is where we pick up the story. Take a look at it with me there in Numbers chapter number 14. Numbers 14, starting in verse number 41, and we'll read through verse number 43. Numbers 14, verse number 41. And Moses said, now why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Verse 42, do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. Verse 43, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because, here's the reason why, you have turned away from the Lord. The Lord will not be with you. Now, I want you to get those words in your heart. I want you to notice something about that. Look at what it says. It says, because you have turned away from the Lord. So let's say this is where the Lord was at, and we're here. And he says, because you have turned away from the Lord will not be with you. In the New Testament, we find out, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you, right? Here we see, because you have turned away from the Lord, he will not be with you. So that means to me, that means to you, that the proximity that we have to God is decided by us. Are you listening? How close or how far away you are from God is determined by you and I. We have a responsibility to draw near to God with a good heart of faith and not to turn away from God and expect to win the victories in life. Why? Because when you turn away from the Lord will not be with you. But if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. That's what the Bible says. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When we stay with God, there's a blessing for our obedience. Last verse for today, Psalm chapter number 18. Psalm 18. You guys still okay? Praise God. Psalm 18. Great verses in the book of Psalms. Psalm 18, verse 20 through 22. Psalm 18, verse 20 through 22. By the way, I love hearing the sound of your pages turn. Thank you for bringing your Bibles. Psalm 18, verse 20 through 22 says, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness." Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. Verse 21, "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God." Remember, we're talking about departing from the living God. Verse 22, "For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me." What is God saying to us today? Reasons we saw why people depart from God. Number one, we saw unbelief. That evil heart that produces evil things in our life. And when that's birthed in our heart, we will depart from the living God. Second thing is trusting in self. That when we rely on our strength, when we rely on man, we're going to get let down. It's like a broken cistern that will leak the water out. And finally, disobedience. If we turn away from God, God will not be with us. But on the other side of that, we learned some other things as well. We learned that the three reasons why we can stay with God, number one is faith. We can believe God. We can come to God and believe that he is and that he will reward us because we diligently seek him. Second thing we learned is that we can trust God. That God is the fountain of living waters, and whatever we have need of, we can go to him and he will supply it. Finally, we learned that we are to walk in obedience, and that as we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And as we adhere to his word, then the promise of his word will come to pass in our lives. If you got something from God today, come on, give him a great big praise. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God.